in May, my contract, GR Realty, which was trading as the Rubenstein Group, and the contract between Ray White Double Bay, which is an office I worked at for over a decade, was terminated, right? We decided to go our separate ways. And really put me in a position that I felt my back was up against the wall and got me to put my head down and really, really get my stuff going. So, you know, that's exactly what I did. And within 24 hours of, you know, that termination, we had a new premises and a direction in which we were heading. And I knew this is only the beginning of what we needed to do, because there were going to be a lot of questions. And, you know, I plan on answering every single one of them. So put hard work into effect. Team really stepped up. That's been a big, big piece. My guys have really stepped up to the plate, performed, and doing their job better than ever before. So when you have every kind of wheel to the vehicle moving in the same direction and at the same pace, it becomes something special. And, you know, this is only the beginning.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the coolest minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. My guest today really needs no introduction. Today we are catching up with Gavin Rubenstein of Ray White, the Rubenstein Group. Since 2010, Gavin has been in the top handful of agents within the Ray White Group and has, for the last 2 years, been the number one residential salesperson in the Ray White Group internationally. Earlier this year, Gavin and his team split from their original home of Ray White Double Bay, announcing the opening of a brand new Ray White business in Woollahra. In this podcast, you're going to hear a very raw, real, and authentic Gavin talk about the split, but why he chose to stay with Ray White, what his new goals are, and some of his thoughts on meeting the new challenges he will face as a business owner. And you're also going to hear why he is super excited for the future, how he plans to grow the team, and the new reality show he's involved in, and everything in between. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and if you do, please share it with your industry colleagues, and of course, hit that iTunes subscribe button. Now, as always, when Gavin talks, there is a lot to take in. So we've taken notes for you in the form of an action guide, which you can download for about a week at eliteagentelevate.com. These action guides are all the best value bombs from all of our guests in bullet point form. No fluff, no junk, no SEO fillers, just the very, very best stuff from this episode. So grab those notes quickly at eliteagentelevate.com. That's it from me. There is something for everyone in this episode with Gavin Rubenstein. Enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, Gavin Rubenstein.
Sam, always a pleasure to work with a lead agent. Thanks for having me.
It is so good to catch up with you. So how have you been? How's life?
Man, crazy. I feel like my life is an episode of Suits, you know, from like May onwards till now. And on July, I was on pause because I had a little bit of a break and a vacation. But yeah, really fantastic period to learn from, to grow from, and I guess kind of natural next phase in career. So super excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed that you've got a lot of very amazingly cool listings on Instagram right now, because obviously we follow you, as do many thousands of other people on Instagram. So what's happening for you out there at the moment?
Well, you know, funny enough, we have actually listed the most amount of auctions for any given month in my entire career. So we just clocked north of 20 active marketed auction listings yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, we got quite a few more that we're tracing to lock up for the month of September. And like, for the most part, these aren't small houses.
I would buy them all if I could.
Me too, if I could. So, you know, it's an inspiring job. I like that aspect of it, is not only meeting the people who own the properties, but seeing these homes. And, that's fantastic for motivation, because it kind of paints you a picture of what could be if you put your head down and work hard and it works out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of them on Instagram has got the caption, "Welcome home."
Yeah.
And I just looked at that and went, see myself living my absolute best life.
That house, I've seen a lot of beautiful homes, waterfronts, non-waterfronts, has got to be one of the best properties I have ever seen in terms of the detail, quality and finish. And we're putting that on in the next week. So super excited to be doing that.
So to have 20 listings now, you must have been working on them for such a long period of time. So tell me about the process to get your pipeline to 20 auctions in September.
Well, you know, obviously in May, my contract, GR Realty, was trading as the Rubenstein Group, and the contract between Ray White Double Bay, which is an office I worked at for over a decade, was terminated, right? We decided to go our separate ways. And since that position, and I guess going through that adversity, because it was, I mean, you work in a place for a long period of time and, you know, all of a sudden what you know is longer, no more, really put me in a position that I felt my back was up against the wall and got me to put my head down and really, really get my stuff going. So, you know, that's exactly what I did. And kind of I find that when I'm in those situations, I perform best. It's no different to like, you know, an auction floor. You're at the sharp end of the deal. You're trying to pull together a multi-million dollar transaction. You're $1 million apart and you get together. You know, when I have a discussion with a client, I say to them, this is one of the parts where I'm the most value add to you because I'm super comfortable in these situations. And this to me was kind of no different. Within 24 hours of, you know, that termination, we had a new premises and a direction in which we were heading. And I knew this is only the beginning of what we needed to do because there were going to be a lot of questions. And, you know, I plan on answering every single one of them. So put hard work into effect. Team really stepped up. That's been a big, big piece. My guys, you know, particularly Oliver Lavers, Kai Thomas, who are now associate directors of Ray White TRG, have really stepped up to the plate, performed and doing their job better than ever before. So when you have every kind of wheel to the vehicle moving in the same direction and at the same pace, it becomes something special. And, you know, this is only the beginning.
Yeah, I must admit I can relate to that. When your back's up against the wall, it kind of makes you work harder. It's sort of, you know, like it's fighters like us that do that.
100%.
So I do have a couple of questions on that because I remember when we posted that news, the world kind of must have gone a bit mental for you. I know that there were a lot of questions coming in here and I kind of said, look, as soon as Gavin's ready to talk, he will talk. Don't, 100%. You know, it'll all be good. I'm sure that there's something great in the pipeline. There was a lot of curiosity as to why you didn't leave Ray White, as you know, because the Rubenstein Group as a brand has been quite well established for a long time.
Sure.
So what was your thinking in staying with Ray White but going to another office?
It's a good question. I mean, there are a couple of reasons as to why I decided to stick with the brand. I think, you know, first and foremost, Gavin Rubenstein and or now, you know, the Rubenstein Group and Ray White is a fantastic formula that has worked over the past decade. And I think, you know, I've been able to do things in the space that other practitioners haven't. And I thought with taking some level of creative direction, of course, being under their brand guidelines still, but, you know, being the official captain of the whole ship was going to put me in a very strong position to exceed client expectations and continue to do things to get noticed. Pink elephant mentality is what I call that.
Yeah.
That was number one. Number two was, you know, for me, the awards and the recognition being the largest real estate brand in the country is like an unbelievable driver, right? So I'm obsessed with NBA basketball. I know it's kind of ironic, right? Because, you know, I was never going to play basketball, unfortunately. But, you know, these guys who are unbelievable competitors compete every year. They work, they train hard and have an unrelenting level of commitment that they give to their craft to compete for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that number one salesperson, that awards night, given how big the brand is, was my championship. And I definitely thrive off of that competition and enjoyed each year competing for that, particularly because I think most agents struggle with consistency. And that was something I really wanted to, you know, a question I wanted to answer around you can't be consistent if you have the right work ethic and process and your kind of actions map towards your ambitions. And so I thought I didn't want to lose that competitive side of it, right? Happy to go start off your own brand, but who are you really competing with as such? And I like the competition. It drives me. Of course, now, you know, the journey is different and it's a lot more challenging because not only am I competing for salesperson, I need to try and get someone to compete for salesperson because I no longer compete in that category after these next awards, but I compete in office and then I'll compete in principal, which is ownership category. So big, big kind of exciting challenges, which I tend to gravitate towards because I, like I say, thrive off that. And then the third point was, you know, the guys at Ray White, Dan White in particular, Jason Andrew, who's the CEO, I just got such a great relationship with those guys.
Yeah.
And have had for a long period of time. So we came to an agreement that was just hard to say no to, really. And, you know, for that reason, or those three reasons, I should say, you know, we decided to do this together, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So there will be a shopfront?
100%. So our address is 83 Queen Street. I've gone way over budget for the fit out.
As you do.
It's sexy, man. Like, you know, first time I thought about it and conceptualized and had a vision for it was always going to be different to a standard real estate office and space. It's more along the lines of like a luxury home residential fit out as opposed to, you know, commercial real estate shop fit out. Super, super excited. Our doors will open in 4 weeks. They've been doing work on it for about 3 weeks. Queen Street, as you know, is a prestigious hub of the eastern suburbs. It always has been. Mm. And we took a space and completely stripped it back to bare walls. And I'm looking forward to showing a lead agent when it's done.
Is that an invite?
100%.
Amazing.
We're even building in like a little bar so we can have like a shot of tequila after a successful sale. So yep. If the client wants it, of course, so we'll have to invite you over for a drink.
A hot desk would be great. I do like the eastern suburbs. So let's talk about your move into leadership.
Yes.
It requires quite a bit of a different kind of thinking from you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
For you, rather. So you're the kind of guy who's used to listing, selling, doing deals, talking to buyers, talking to sellers.
Yeah.
What does your day look like now? What does your headspace look like now?
It's interesting. Like, you got to keep the main thing. And what works for me is listing, selling, and putting the deal together. None of that fiber is going to be changing. I'm ramping up those aspects tenfold, 10 times, right? So in terms of mindset, I think that's what changes. And it may sound crazy, but it's really not that different, because when you have a look, particularly over the last couple of years anyway, I've been kind of the driving force behind the team and have had some key members working alongside me to ensure that our numbers remain high and remain growing irrespective of what the market is doing, right? So it really is not that different. I mean, I don't know if most people know, but I've actually never had someone on my sales team leave me. Obviously, it's not an enormous team, but real estate is known for staff retention, right? Yep. And so, you know, I think in terms of just based off of that fact, it says all it kind of needs to about, you know, leadership skill set. And I think you're constantly evolving and learning as you go through. The mindset has changed because you think a little bit kind of big picture. To give you an example, I made an initial design for the office where downstairs was a communal workspace and then upstairs were a separate office for myself and then, you know, another office for somebody else. And just got back from my trip, went into the office to see the progress that these guys made great progress. And the first thing I said walking upstairs was, you know, this wall has to go. And Remy, who is, you know, not only my marketing manager in my ear, but also a very close friend and has a close handle on the business, was shocked. Why do you want to remove the offices? And my answer to her was, you know, back in the last office, I wanted to segregate myself because I was working kind of for the team and not necessarily the office as such. This is my office now. Mm. So what I would like to do is knock through that wall, build another communal table. So now we've got an 8-seater table upstairs, 8-seater table downstairs, and I want a hot desk between up and downstairs, 1 week up, 1 week down. So the guys who we bring into the office can feed off of my energy, hear me on the phones, and I can also watch what they're doing to ensure that we're giving the customer and the consumer the best and highest level of service. And I think it's approach and mindset like that which shifts, as opposed to really what I'm doing differently. Because in terms of how I'm setting the office up, I've got some incredible people, incredible, in place to manage the back end of the business. And I'm going to be a 100% listing and selling principal who is going to be building this team as best I can to provide the best service to anyone looking to sell or buy.
Yeah. You know, I've likened it a couple of times to other people as having a really good pit crew because, you know, like if you're a Formula One racer, you've got people that change the wheels and you've got people that work on the engine and refueling and all that sort of stuff. So what does your pit crew look like at the moment?
Okay. So you've got Oliver Lavers and Kai Thomas, who have now become, like I say, associate directors of the office. Bradley Ploss is going to be employed by Kai Thomas as his junior agent. And Oliver Lavers has just actually employed someone as his junior agent.
Oh, wow.
Right. So
that's a real revolution, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. It's actually, it's incredible to see and watch it all transpire.
Yeah, good on them.
And then, of course, you've got Remy, who runs the marketing aspect of it. We've got a new girl starting, and we've actually got a couple of really exciting agents who are talking to us, wanting to get involved. So, you know, if you stay tuned over the next couple of months, I think you're going to see a really fantastic foundation built for, you know, what this great office is going to be.
That means that you will be recruiting more people?
Look, I never wanted to recruit. In the first 12 months, I was like, I sat down with the team and I'm talking about not recruiting for the first 12 months. I don't want to focus on recruiting. My approach, my plan, if you like, was let's make a lot of noise. You know, how do you make a lot of noise? My definition of noise is list a lot of property, sell a lot of property, do a damn good job for the clients with lots of signboards, lots of ads. And that is my definition of noise. And I think I'm peeling it way back to day one in real estate. Right. And that's what I did in day one. And that's what I'm doing now. If you do that, the marketplace will start to notice what you're doing, that you're doing it a little bit different. And through that process, I think you will attract the right dynamic and/or agents who will want to join. But like you said, the Rubenstein Group has a level of profile and a brand. And so just, you know, I think naturally it's created interest from particular agents. And, you know, my door's open. So I love to talk to them, like I said, and work close.
Is that like careers at therubensteingroup.com.au?
I don't think it's that advanced. I mean, like I say, it's Ray White TRG. So, you know, Ray White as a brand as well gives people a level of comfort.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've noticed particularly Ray White as a brand has started to attract a lot of agents from, say, boutique agencies in the last 12 months because their formula works and, you know, interesting to see and watch and wait what happens.
What sort of qualities would – I'm not interviewing, by the way, but what sort of qualities –
You know, I'll hire you in a second.
Yeah, what sort of qualities would I need if I was a real estate agent to work with you? What would you be looking for?
Well, see, I've always been about finding a skill set that is suitable to the role that we're trying to fill, right? So, for example, when I put Oliver on, it was at a time in my business where I was noticing that there were people coming through my open homes who would list. And I was questioning, you know, why aren't I getting in front of these people to at least pitch for the presentation? And the answer to that was I would touch point with them once, but then focus my time, effort, and attention on, you know, the sales that were about to happen or the listings that were about to happen tomorrow. And so I needed someone who was fastidious about follow-up. And how we approached him, he was working for another agent at the time, was, you know, I got Jerome to call him. He missed the call from Jerome, called him back immediately, like 5 minutes later saying, look, my name's Oliver Laves. I missed a call from this number. How can I help? And that already to me was an indicator that this guy doesn't like to let anything go through to the keeper. I used to call him my goalie. He's stepped up like 20 notches since. You know, then obviously we met up and, you know, had a conversation and things led to where they are today. But I always like to look for, if there's a certain role I'm trying to fill, do you have the skill set that suits that role? And then to me, I'm always about hunger. I like people who are hungry because I'm hungry. Like I'm starving, right? And I've never been hungrier than I am now. So I respect that when I see it and I can see it. And I think there are so many people who like to try and say that they're hungry, but aren't really hungry. You know, it's almost become like a fashionable thing or a cool thing to say, like, I'm hungry and I'm ready to work or I want to work, but aren't willing to do what it takes when you get down to it. And I think I can peel that right back and identify whether someone really is or really isn't. I did approach one agent. I wasn't recruiting officially, but there was always one guy I wanted to have a chat to. We'll leave names out of it. You know, I had a conversation with this guy and I kind of liked what he was doing from afar and we got deep into dialogue and had a couple of meetings later and he came back to me and, you know, the question he raised was, I'm keen to progress this further and will you cover the cost of an assistant for me? And my answer was hell no. I'm like, no one ever covered the cost of an assistant for me. By the time I left my last office, as you know, I had 5 people working in my team. Those salaries were all being paid from the commission I made and no office ever paid and or even contributed to any of my assistants. And I think that was a part of the formula that worked. When you've got the cold wind of disaster blowing up your ass and you're not on a regular paycheck, no matter what happens, you're going to list. And that's exactly what I did. And so to me, that was and is very, very important to implement. And so these are the sort of little aspects I look for and or kind of turn away from, right?
So if I could sort of rephrase that, you're actually looking for someone who's prepared to back themselves 100% rather than, you know, let me give you a safety net and fluff you up a bit.
100%. Something I noticed from a lot of real estate agents, like you know me, we've known each other for years now, I pay attention. I don't do a lot of things well, but like one of the things I do well is pay attention. And, you know, a lot of these real estate agents, particularly some of the younger ones, they're soft and they don't back themselves. They're also not prepared to spend the money on, you know, what they need to create a brand for themselves, to be in a position of strength. And these two aspects, I think, need huge attention from real estate agents at the game.
Yeah, you do need to invest in yourself. I mean, it doesn't matter what business you're in. It's, yeah, absolutely. There's actually another thing I wanted to ask you too, is that, you know, you've always been about providing value. So, you know, like you're very good at walking into a room and just tapping into the people that are in there and thinking about, you know, like, how can I provide value to these people?
Yeah.
In this kind of a market at the moment, what are you finding consumers are really valuing from you at the moment? What do they really want?
In tougher climates, you know what matters most? Detail.
Detail.
It's a problem for most real estate agents.
Yeah.
It's a big problem for most real estate agents. Detail's my thing. And from providing a service, one-stop shop, to the end of the process, I have people in place and systems in place, processes in place to deliver it at the absolute highest level. Plus commitment and, I believe, a comprehensive understanding of the process, just because of how seriously I take it and how committed to it I've been for the last decade. Every deal I do, every auction I sell, every experience I have, I go into really with the mindset of, what can I learn from this? You know, and when the chips are down or go through bad periods or go through periods of adversity, I don't sit there feeling sorry for myself. I take the opposite approach of getting excited, because one door closes, another one opens, and always come out of that door a better agent, a better person, a better practitioner. And so to me, it's really important.
Absolutely. Another thing that you're known for is your incredible energy. Give me some tips for other agents on how to keep your energy high. Are you like, I'm hearing at the moment infrared saunas from Phil Harris and Tommy Hector and everyone. Like, how do you keep your...
I think it's such an individual thing, energy management. What puts me high and or keeps me level may not put someone else high and keep them level. I think I would just say, you know, my view on that would be, pay attention to yourself. If you're not in a good mood or things aren't going to plan, let's say during a day and or period, trace your steps back and work out what actually happened here and or what did I go through that made me feel like this. And then, you know, on the other side of the coin, it's a function of, when you feel really good, you're very happy, you're very excited, you're attracting a lot of good things to yourself, trace your steps back again to work out, what did I do to kind of put me in such a good space? And I would harness the things that put you in a really good space to ensure that you can play in that space as much as possible. And I would stay the hell away from the stuff that put you in a bad space as much as possible.
What puts Gavin Rubenstein in a good space?
Me personally? Man, there's a lot. I love listening, man. I love selling. Like I say, I like competing, so I like winning a lot. But happy to lose as well, right? Because that builds chips on shoulders, and that can be a very motivating situation. But personally, things drive me in one way, and then from a business perspective, things drive me in another. I love to travel, you know, taking those opportunities where the market is at kind of a down cycle to refresh and regenerate is absolutely paramount and is going to give me longevity for the next 20 years to keep this pace up. You know, and starting the day right and just really making sure everything I tell myself is super clear in my own mind and has a purpose.
Yeah. So you just mentioned 20 years. So how do you see yourself in 20 years?
I want to get in, I want to get out. From now, to me, a 20-year game. I really don't want to be one of those agents, you know, 50 plus, still listing and selling, trying to keep up with the younger guys. I believe today in 2019 and beyond, this is a young man's sport, right? That's not to say that older guys can't be fantastic and don't have great experience at it. But the way in which it has moved, say, over the last 3 to 4 years, you've got to really have crazy levels of energy. So for me, the next 20 years is about pedal to the metal, dominating the space as much as I possibly can, being the top of the most relevant conversation of real estate agents in Sydney and Australia and the country. And then, you know, when I'm about 50 circa, give or take, bounce.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, the real estate industry will be very different when, well, I'm nearly there, when you're 50.
100%. And at that point, I don't want to try and keep up with, you know, so someone like myself in 20 years time, because I think it changes and everyone has, I guess, like a season or a period, particularly in my marketplace. And mine's about to begin. I don't feel it has yet. So I want to go through that, set myself up, you know, as best I can, have a family and, you know, live happily ever after.
Oh, that's a dream for all of us, isn't it?
100%.
Although, yeah. All right. So just some advice for people that might be listening, young agents and the like. So you're in a super competitive area in Double Bay. What gives you the edge over the competition?
Like I say, detail, unrelenting commitment to my craft. You know, we've covered off on that, the fact that I go into a kind of, I wake up every day just ready to learn, man. I'm just ready to see what experience is going to throw at me, take the lessons from the experience, put that in a little part of my brain, you know, called experience so I can help vendors just get the best result, really. That's an unrelenting level of commitment that I bring to the table every single day. And very comfortable and cool under pressure. Like I really genuinely mean in an auction room and or a negotiation scenario when a multi-million dollar deal is on the table and or at stake, I'm the best version of me to get the best for the client I'm representing at the time. And, you know, if people have dealt with me in the past, they know that, and or if they're dealing with me, they're going to know that soon enough, right? So that outside of just strong work ethic, you know, I think is a pretty good formula to win.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, you are one of the hardest workers in the business.
Have to be. I don't think anyone, same in your industry. I mean, you have a crazy level of commitment and, you know, that's clear as to why a lead agent kind of shines above the rest in terms of publications. But, I mean, you tell me, do you know anyone who has built a successful business without working their absolute face off?
No. I get up at the same time as you.
So success leaves clues, I think, and, you know, in all industries, no one has anything great without working hard for it.
And consistency, as you said earlier, you know, like doing the little things that other people don't do on that metronome kind of scale, like that, you know, like clockwork.
Well, agents struggle with consistency, but like specifically agents. Like I get tarred with this brush, which is like, well, you sell in Vaucluse, you sell in Rose Bay, you sell, you know, in Dover Heights. So therefore, it's a lay down Missouri for you. It's going to be easy. But when you actually pay attention to the numbers that the majority of agents write who sell in those areas, they fluctuate like a crazy chart up and down. So, you know, to keep that consistent, I think is a good challenge for any agent to set themselves and focus on progression. You know, even if I can do just a little bit better than last year, irrespective of market conditions, that's what really counts.
You just said you like to learn and continue to learn. Who are you learning from at the moment?
Such a mix of guys.
Is there any books you're reading at the moment?
I never read.
You never read?
Yeah, no, I just lost a big portion of whoever was listening to this. But I'm huge on podcasts and yep. I'm huge on video content.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys I follow on Instagram, I'm looking at interviews, I'm looking at podcasts they've done, I'm looking at content that they've put out. Absolutely no one in the industry. I can hand on heart say that there is no one in the industry at this time that I draw inspiration out of. I'm looking at people kind of.
You draw inspiration from people outside the industry.
Completely. You know, like top end athletes, super successful entrepreneurs, you know, successful business people. I'm obsessed with understanding how these guys, how they work, how their mind ticks. And, you know, if you watch interviews and interviews and interviews on them, they don't show you everything in their toolbox, but they leave clues. And, you know, I like to kind of take what is relatable and leave behind what is not. And, you know, I've always done that. Like I spend a big portion of my holiday when I'm at the pool just listening to podcasts and watching interviews from, you know, some of these super high performers and or athletes and get a lot from that and feel that's been helpful, you know, with regard to getting my mindset under control over the years.
Yeah. So what's your next goal?
Next goal is I want to be number one principal in the group. I want to build the number one salesperson. You know, that's important to me. That's a challenge for me, right? Like I did that for 6 years in a row, and this is the seventh year I'll be competing. Whether or not I get it is yet to be determined. We'll find out next month. But I've got the formula, right? So I can help someone get there. And the third one, of course, is get the office to number one in the group for the country. And like these are challenging, right? Because you're competing with officers who are very good, who have been around for a long time, who are a lot bigger. But like I said, in those situations, I believe I'm the best version of myself, and with the right plan, right vision, a little bit of crazy and work ethic, we're going to get there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. lastly, what about this show? Can we talk about the show?
A couple of really exciting names involved in the show. It's early days. They've been working on it for a couple of years. I mean, I know nothing about TV, but I'm sure you know a lot more than me, but it takes time to get something like this up and off the ground. So they initially filmed like a sizzle reel. Take you back to the start. At first, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be involved in it because I have questions about, you know, Australian reality TV in general. Then they said, look, let's follow you around just for a couple of weeks and let's put together a sizzle. And if you like the sizzle, then we can talk. And when I saw the sizzle, I was like, damn. This is
damn
cool. Like this is not Australian TV at all, and I think people are going to love it. So, you know, we took it one step further. They've just shot myself and the other characters that are featuring in it and have put together a pilot, which I saw last week. Wasn't happy with the pilot at all in terms of the quality. It was very different to the sizzle, but, you know, the production company, Kentel, is a fantastic company we're working with in association with Butter Media, and this is what's involved. You have one cut, then two, three, four, five. You see the version which is cut number 10, right? So they've definitely got the right pieces in terms of the people who are involved and the production company and the agents and the characters, and have no doubt they'll get there in the end. But it's exciting.
So will it be a real sort of behind the scenes in just a day in the life?
Not scripted at all, completely. And look, that's challenging as well, because some of my clientele really want nothing to do with that.
Mm.
And so this is just another plate I've got to spin on the side, you know, with regard to – a lot of my clients like to be private. They like to be confidential. And I think I can kind of feel out and identify who would like to go down that road and who wouldn't. But yeah, I mean, these guys have kind of all access. It's going to be exciting.
I'm excited to see what you do next, and I'm excited to see how you go in the – God, there's so much going on.
Long term.
New business.
Yeah, man.
It's all happening for you, Gavin Rubenstein. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.